Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens, and this is going to be episode 27 of my solo podcasts as we move forward here in 2018. And this one is about the concept of daydreaming. And I'm going to be talking about daydreaming and the stigma that is often applied to that term, and how whether or not daydreaming is actually a form of work when you are a creative person. So not that I want to completely turn the term on its head, but rather come at it from a different angle that I think a lot of other creatives and those who are more of the abstract and creative mindset will probably relate to in this episode. And maybe some of the you more industrious types, if you're listening to this particular podcast, you'll be able to kind of follow along and go, man, I still don't understand creative people. What is wrong with them? So that's really my hope for this episode. So here we go. Let's just dive right into it. I want to start first with a story from about, I would say about 4 or 5 years ago now, when I was first starting to do self-published work through Amazon. And I decided to kind of cut ties with my old publisher. I just wasn't having a good run with them. And I just felt like I needed to do a little bit more on my own, have a little more creative control. And I got into the Amazon Kindle Press, which is KDP. It's Kindle Direct Press. And one of the services that they gave a person who signed up for them was that you were able to watch sort of testimonies of people who had been doing it for a few years. And so I was kind of coming in, I don't want to say in the middle of the Kindle Direct publishing, I wouldn't even call it an explosion, but just sort of the more of the mainstream usage of this tool. But I was somewhere near the middle towards the end of people starting to jump on the bandwagon. But they had these testimonials, and you could literally go on there and listen to other authors, Kindle authors, self-published authors who are now working with Amazon, and hear their stories, what they did, how they got started, what their work habits were like, what their techniques were for kind of honing their creative craft. And there was one that really intrigued me, or rather piqued my interest, was there was a woman on there, and she was a fantasy writer of some kind. She wrote about, I think, werewolves or vampires or something of that nature. And she started talking about who she decided to marry, which you would think, okay, why is someone talking about this? They're supposed to be talking about their writing or whatever. But she made this comment that I'll never forget, where she said, I needed to be with someone who understood that when I was sitting in a room and I was staring off into space and I wasn't talking to anyone else, that meant I was working. And I'm paraphrasing a bit, but that was kind of what she was saying. She was saying that while I'm sitting there and I'm staring off and I'm just not really engaging with anyone, but it looks like I'm kind of intensely off somewhere, that can still be work. So this idea of daydreaming being work for a person was very interesting. I mean, it was just kind of fascinating to me that someone would say that, but it really resonated with me for a couple reasons. Number one, I daydream. I think that was kind of the big thing first and foremost. That I went, yeah, I get that. I do that. I mean, growing up, how many times did you, if you're listening to this, and you may be someone who's got some creative endeavors, how many times did you hear it from a teacher? You know, pay attention. You know, stop daydreaming. Stop doing those things. You know, pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing. And I didn't get in trouble a ton in school. I'll admit that. I was a bit of a goody two shoes. I was kind of like Captain America Jr. I was the picture of what you would want your young son to be portraying himself as in the public sector, as far as being a student athlete and everything else. But I know that I began to hide it very well when I got into high school, after I was, you know, went through middle school and all the crazy hormones things were going on. I remember hiding this part of myself where I would daydream and I would kind of sneak off in my study halls and I would write down ideas for characters or stories that I was very interested in, or there were books that I wanted to read. And I was so afraid to tell people about it, which may sound weird, but my persona in high school was very almost one-dimensional in a way. It was Josh did all of his work and he did it on time and he was very disciplined and he played by the rules. Okay, and that went across all lines, academia, social, and sports. So anything that I was doing, I was inside the box. But inside of me, I was really screaming to be outside of that box. And in fact, that's how I spent a lot of my time out of school, when I wasn't at practice for basketball or baseball, or if I wasn't training in choir or something or band or whatever I was doing at the time, I was at home writing. I was journaling. I was listening to music to inspire me. I was listening to things that kind of got my mind working in a way that I could open up that sort of Pandora's box of creativity that I wanted to explore. And I remember even on my last days as a senior in high school having just journals and just tablets just full of ideas and writings that I did and some poems and little pieces of short stories that just, some of them were finished, some of them not finished, some of them were just outlines, some of them just listed characters and basic ideas. But this was kind of like my private life. This was like my secretive life that I had going on. And a lot of that was built upon moments I would be sitting in class and I'd be looking off in the distance, not really soaking in the latest chemistry quiz or the latest information about the geography of the world. And I was thinking about that book that I wanted to read in study hall, or I was thinking about that story that I wanted to do later. And I think this is very natural. Okay, first of all, I think this is real natural for any teenager, because when you think about the public education system of the United States, it is totally set up in the opposite or inverse direction of a creative mind in the first place. I mean, because that's really what every school system wants to do, is it wants to be able to create order out of the chaos. So why do you have 45-minute time slots? You know, why do you have, now granted, I've been out of high school for a while, so this might have changed a little bit. You know, why do you sit in rows? You know, why do you sit in perfectly ordered desks? Why is it that you're asked to pay attention to someone gab for, like I said, 40-45 minutes, and then take a quiz on it later that week or a test? And it has to all be very orderly and it has to be organized. You have to be disciplined. Well, there's only so much space. I mean, one of the things that is true of people is that their attention spans are only about, I think, 10 to 20 minutes at the most. That's really all we can muster before we start wandering off into La La Land, which is part of the reason why I try to keep these podcasts to like 10 to 15 minutes at the most. Earlier days, I was like 20, 25. I was like, whoa, maybe that's a little bit too much. But regardless of which, it's not that I don't want to make this sound like I'm ripping on the educational system. But I just want to make note of something very specific about that environment that basically says, learn to hone yourself and become disciplined, so then you can eventually carry those disciplines into your other interests. And I think that I never really made that connection. I know that might sound a bit of self-defeating, but in high school, you don't really make that connection, especially if you're not talking to other people about it. Because there are ways for an artist to express him or herself in high school. Okay, there was advanced art classes. There was the language arts. There was speech classes. There was all kinds of different ways that you could get involved in the arts or in something a little more creative. In high school, at least, you know, my high school at least offered those things. But if you don't have those things, if you don't have access to that kind of stuff, if you are buying into the notion that, you know, you're like a person in a factory being churned out, then that might stunt you a bit. That might also demoralize you a bit as far as wanting to go out and explore those creative areas of yourself. And again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not telling anybody that's listening to this who's still in high school to go into your classrooms the next day or whenever you're listening to this. And if your teacher tells you that you're daydreaming and you need to pay attention, you have the right to tell them, hey, get off me, bro. I'm working. Because no, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that be cognizant of these things. And I think even as adults, we do this. Okay, you know, there's sometimes I'm on conference calls and I'm just like, wow, I just can't take this anymore. I'm dozing off, man. I'm thinking about that story. I'm thinking about what editing I got to do later, which really is a big bummer. There's all kinds of things that distract us throughout our day where our mind begins to wander. But in terms of applying it and learning that we have to have good habits, we have to have good habits if we're going to turn daydreaming into more than just daydreaming. We have to be able to cultivate that out of ourselves. And honestly, it's kind of, I guess, the crux of this episode is that I never made that connection really when I was in, like I said, when I was younger, when I was in high school, or even when I was in college. I kind of segmented everything. Nothing really ran fluidly or nothing flowed together for me really. until I got out into the workforce in my 20s, and it never clicked, I guess, is the most, I guess, depressing part of the story, until I got a little bit older and I heard these testimonies of people who were writing books and people who were creative entrepreneurs, and they were saying, look, it's okay to daydream a bit. It's okay to let your mind wander, but here's the deal. You have to keep your mind on your priorities, and you have to be able to harness whatever it is that you're daydreaming about to put that into some kind of application, because you can't just spend your days inside your head trying to come up with something. Okay, it's just and expecting it's just going to write itself. That's just not going to happen. I mean, I can think of so many times I've been at author signing events or book events, and I end up talking to someone. Someone comes up to my booth, or they're having a conversation with me, and they're saying, "Yeah, you know, good for you. You wrote this book about Mars, or you know, you wrote all these stories. Good for you. How long did it take you to write it?" And I say something like, to the extent of about a year and a half, 2 years. You know, from start to finish, it takes some time. You got to carve out time in your day to make it happen, and you know, you can't just be dreaming it up. And usually, when you bring up that term dream, you see people's eyes get real big, because now you're connecting with them, because now you're relating to them in some way. Like, oh, here's my big dream that I sit and I mull over from day to day, but I don't do anything about it. And that's really sad. Okay. To me, it's not to call people to the carpet, but rather to bring them to an area of conviction that if you're really serious about this, if you're really serious about writing a book, doing that canvas or starting that business or whatever creative venture you may have, then you have to start putting that daydreaming to work. And on that note, kind of bring this full circle, I still can relate to the woman that I was referencing earlier, her comments about, if I'm sitting there and I'm staring off into space, I'm still working, because that is totally true still. It's very difficult, I think, as a creative to be completely present in the moment, because of the, I don't want to say necessity, because that's not the right word I want to use, but the draw that there is to stay in that escapism, to stay in that escaped place where your imagination can just kind of work through all the scenarios, which, again, is really interesting to me, because to an abstract mind, to a right-brained person, this is normal, okay? This is normal to go into all these different spaces of scenarios and coming up with sort of imaginary fictional characters, whereas someone who's a little more left brain might go, why would you do that? Just put your hands on something, write it, you know, do something about it, you know, be industrious, you know, make this thing happen logically. And to a creative person, it's like, no, I'm not there yet. I'm not quite there yet. I'm still working it out. I can't pull the trigger just yet. And that's when, again, I said, marrying the two sides is the best way to make it happen, is to figure out, yeah, I need to stop daydreaming eventually and start making some things happen. So that's this episode on daydreaming. I don't think I've completely destroyed the stigma of daydreaming, and hopefully I haven't tried to paint the picture of public education as the antithesis of creative endeavors necessarily. but I just, again, you know, having written a few books now and having learned how to cultivate good habits that I can utilize when I do get free time. Because, you know, being a husband, being a father of two little munchkins, you don't get a lot of time to yourself. I mean, just doing this podcast is an act of not daydreaming anymore. It's about actually doing something about what I want to be doing, or what I have interest in, what I want to share with other people. So again, I want to, for lack of a better word, reiterate that, you know, yes, when you're daydreaming and you're off in space and you're thinking about what you want to accomplish, it's fine to do so. And other people that sit with you, like my wife, definitely can notice that on me sometimes when I have that look in my eye, like, where are you right now? Because you're not here. And that's good and bad, because I need to come back to the present. I need to come back and be like, yes, I'm here. You know, what are we doing again? Are we grocery shopping? Where are we? What's happening? And I don't think I'm that bad, but there's always that sort of check, that honest check that you have to give yourself. So with all that being said, at the end here, I hope you guys are enjoying the takes here on the Writer's Lens. and look forward to catching up with you guys again soon for another episode. So until then, I'll catch you guys later.